Yes, welcome back to the Thursday edition of World Football Daily. It was an incredible night at Wembley for England's national side, beating Brazil. Who would have thought it? One man who's been looking at that game and everything else going on in English football right now is Mr. Ben Littleton, contributor, of course, to Sports Illustrated as well as many other places. I'm slurring my words here, Ben. I do apologise, mate. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
I'm talking like I've been down the pub already today, and I promise you I have not. I will say that. You were watching the England game very closely last night. Ben, what did you make of the overall performance of this England side? It looked very accomplished.
Yes, it was. I mean, I think it needs to be taken with a slight pinch of salt, given that this was Sarri's first game back in charge of Brazil, and he was doing more experimenting, really, than Roy Hodgson was, who sort of knows vaguely what his best 11 is and what his best formation is. I think what we saw is that when Jack Wilshere was fit, he and Steven Gerrard are very good midfield partners. They work well together. And this has obviously been a long-term problem for England in the midfield. For so long, it was Frank Lampard and Steven Gerrard, and it didn't work. But Wilshere, he's a talented player, and he showed that last night.
Wilshere's been fantastic since coming back from his long-term injury. Are you surprised that he's not been as affected as, say, other people have been coming back from extensive times out?
Not really. I mean, it does take time. I think that the big fear I had about Jack Wilshere after coming back from over a year out, don't forget, I mean, he missed more than a whole season through injury, is that everyone would expect him to be superb straight away. And it does take 2 or 3 months to, you know, get back to your physical best and get back into the rhythm of games. And he is doing that at the moment. I mean, in a way, he's almost playing better for England than he does for Arsenal. I think that's quite rare, really, because you see so many players being able to perform for their club rather than their country. Part of me thinks that the way England is set up is better suited to his game than the way Arsenal are set up. Where he's playing a three-man midfield surrounded by lots of other passers. In a way, Cazorla is the key playmaker on that side. So Wilshere's job is to get the ball to Cazorla, whereas for England, he's pretty much the main playmaker. Yes, Rooney has got some freedom as well, but it's Wilshere who's got the freedom in and around the halfway line, just inside the opposition half, to balls that split defences that led to England's first goal.
There's been a couple of people, Jamie Redknapp in the Daily Mail today, saying that he wants Wilshere to not be like a Gazza and be more like an Iniesta and to cut out the crunching challenges in his game. Do you agree with that? Do you think that's necessary for Wilshere to improve and become one of the best midfielders in the world?
Not at all. I mean, I think this is a syndrome that I think happens not just in England but in every country. If you have a good player, you have to call him the new something. So Samir Nasri was once the new Zidane, and Benzema was once the new Henri. All this kind of stuff happens in France. Suddenly England have got a new player, you know, a great player, and we have to compare him to Iniesta or Xavi or Gazza. You know, he's just a new Wilshere. He's excellent, and let's just let him get on with what he does best, which is playing, you know, as part of a midfield too. And that part of that role is tackling. I mean, he's basically replaced Scott Parker, who only tackles. I mean, Wilshere has got the tackling part and the passing part. And, you know, when you compare his skill set to Scott Parker's, you're on a totally different level.
Ben, do you get the sense that Wilshere has this head on him as well, the maturity in his head to focus and stay with the football rather than getting distracted by things off the pitch? Because with so many young players, you see them kind of drifting away at this sort of age.
Yeah, and I think that's why Arsenal and Arsene Wenger are so good, because don't forget, we've been speaking about Wilshere here for about 3 or 4 years, probably more, in fact. And Wenger has got a brilliant track record. Yes, at bringing them through. I mean, think of someone like Cesc Fabregas. There was so much pressure on him as well. Okay, he's not English, but the pressure was still there. He went on to become Arsenal captain. I think the same is true with Wilshere. The biggest problem, I think, rather than keeping him on the straight and narrow, is Arsenal being able to keep hold of him for the long term. Because if they don't finish in the top four this season, I think Wilshere can live with a year out of the Champions League. But if it becomes 2 or 3 years, a player of his qualities might want to look elsewhere.
Another player that played very well last night was Wayne Rooney, and after such a kind of a disappointing Euro 2012 when he finally came back into the side and didn't make a great impression, even though he scored in his first game back, it's reassuring to see Rooney in form with United and in form with England and showing the quality that we sometimes haven't seen in the last couple of years.
Yeah, he's been brilliant for United. He's a really good example from what I was talking about earlier, of a player who is excellent for his club and doesn't do it always for his country. The problem he's had for England is no one knows what his best position is, and he's constantly compared back to the Rooney of Euro 2004 when he played as centre forward, and he was young and he had pace, much more pace than he does now, and he was also a different body shape. I mean, he's bulked up massively in that period. He's had injuries as well. He's a totally different player, and he's a much more mature player, more all-round player, and a more versatile player. And I think Roy Hodgson has done well to find the best position for him, which is as a number 10 playing behind a single centre forward. And the fact that centre forward is well back, I think, also helps Rooney, because these guys play together every day at United. They train together. Welbeck's movement is very, very good, very clever, and hugely underrated, I think. And I think those two are very good partnership. If you have Walcott's pace on the right and, you know, the trickery of an Ashley Young or someone like that on the left, I think it's a pretty dangerous front four.
Well, I was going to say, do you see Walcott, Welbeck as being the future for England's starting man up front? Do you think that's where we need to look for our main centre forward?
At the moment, I do, yeah, just because of the way it's set up. I mean, I think Domingue Defoe is a prolific striker, but I don't think he adds as much to the rest of his game as Welbeck does. And I think we're waiting for Daniel Sturridge to burst into life, and he's showed signs of that at Liverpool. He could potentially be a backup to Welbeck or an alternative. You know, and then there are, you have players like Andy Carroll who are potentially options from the bench, because he does offer something that no other English striker does, which is just an amazing aerial threat. And we saw at the Euros that if a player can get the delivery right, as Steven Gerrard did in a couple of games, notably against Sweden, you know, then Carroll is a guy who can get on the end of crosses. And to have a plan B, I think, is really, really important.
And Carroll got that fantastic header on the weekend as well for West Ham in his first game back after a while out. There were obviously two sides last night at Wembley, Ben. Brazil looked a little off. You mentioned that Scolari's changing things round quite a bit, still looking for his best side. Is that what you put down to their slightly off performance last night?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Scolari said it before the game as well, to be fair to him. He said, I'm still looking for the blend. I want more experienced players. He brought back Julio Cesar, who was one of the bright spots for Brazil. It's also why he brought back Ronaldinho, but that didn't work. And Ronaldinho's return, he's trying to really emulate Ronaldo in 2002. Everyone thought he was washed up and finished, and it turns out he went on to inspire the team to winning the World Cup. And that's what Scolari wants Ronaldinho to do next year. But I don't think it's going to work. Ronaldinho has been excellent in the Brazilian league, but there's a feeling that his presence and his movement and his link-up play with Neymar is not getting the best out of Neymar. And the whole team really has to be geared towards Neymar, because he's a guy that can destroy teams single-handedly. And I know he hasn't shown it against English opposition, or he didn't even show it in the World Club Cup final against Barcelona in 2011. But believe me, Neymar is the real deal. And they're causing Brazil now for Kaká to replace Ronaldinho in that side, because Kaká and Neymar do have a very good partnership. And that's much more likely to be something that Scolari will try out in the future.
We saw Kaká and Neymar getting on very well in training in the end of 2012 for Brazil, and we've seen Kaká play well when he's been playing for his country recently. Is the lack of game time at Madrid the thing that's really stopping him from imposing himself on a position in this starting 11 for Brazil?
Yeah, of course it is. It has to be. And I wouldn't be surprised if Kaká leaves Real Madrid in the summer, because everyone wants to be playing regular football next season, because it's the last season before the World Cup selection gets picked. And Scolari has said he's looking for experienced players, players who've won World Cups before, or at least played in World Cups before. And that is, you know, that obviously Kaká ticks those boxes. And there are not many other players in that position who do. So I think he's got a great chance of being scored, and I'd love to see him back, because, you know, it's been a shame what's happened to him in the last 2 years at Real Madrid. He's really been sidelined. Yes, he's had injuries, but when he was at his peak at AC Milan, he was a joy to watch, and he can still offer teams a great deal. Yes, he's been ousted by Ronaldo and Ozil, and it's hard to you know, you have to, you can see why, because those two are among the best in the world. But, you know, I'd love to see Kaká fully fit and playing regularly, and I think he can offer the Brazil side a great deal.
Is there just an unselfishness about Kaká's game as opposed to Ronaldinho's, which still seems quite self-centred on occasion when he's out on the pitch?
I suppose so. That's one way of looking at it. I think Ronaldinho isn't selfish, but I was quite surprised that he was the one that chose to take the penalty when it was awarded in that first half, because Neymar is the normal penalty taker for Brazil. He's the guy that takes the penalties. He's got 17 goals in 27 Brazil appearances. He's their centre forward, you know, he's the main guy. But when Ronaldinho picked up the ball, you know, he basically pulled rank and he said, "Oh, look, it's my 100th appearance. I'm going to be the guy who does it." And, okay, we would have thought that he would score because he's got the ability to, but he didn't. And that essentially affected the whole result, because I think if Brazil had scored the first goal, it would have been, well, obviously it would have been a totally different game, but I think England would have lost confidence and Brazil would have gained confidence. And Neymar, we don't know if he would have scored or not. But the fact that Ronaldinho felt necessary to pull rank on Neymar is something that I very much doubt Kaká would have done.
What about this? The older guys in the squad in general, Ben? Do you get a feeling that Scolari is quite torn about letting a lot of the older boys move on and move away from the international team?
Yeah, he wants them back. I mean, it's interesting, really, because the previous coach, Mano Menezes, his whole ethos was to bring through a new generation. So the team that would represent Brazil in 2014 would be young, dynamic, probably a reflection of, you know, Brazil as a society and as an economy, you know, in itself for next summer. But Scolari has realised, and he was doing quite a good job. Yes, they lost the final. They had a terrible Copa America, but Copa America was 2011. I mean, that's, you know, that's 3 years before the World Cup. So he had time, and he was doing quite well. But Scolari has come in and realised that to win these competitions where you're cooped up for 6 weeks together and the pressure on Brazil is going to be enormous next summer, absolutely huge. You know, don't forget they're ranked 18th in the world. They're not, I know that's probably a false position, but they're not one of the best teams in the world when you consider how good Spain are and Germany are at the moment. You know, they're just a notch above everyone else. Argentina are improving fast as well. So Brazil are not among the favourites if the World Cup were going to be played today. So Scolari has to work out a plan. And what worked for him in 2002 was the presence of veterans and experienced players that brought the group together. And Scolari is not an amazing tactician. He's not the kind of guy that can do a Mourinho and make three substitutions at halftime and change the whole flow of the game. But he is a guy that can get everyone playing for him. He can build a unity and a togetherness. And that is something that I think Brazil have lacked in previous tournaments, and it's something that they believe Scolari can turn into a winning formula. And for that, you do need experience. I mean, I'm thinking of the 2002 side. Ronaldo was experienced. Cafu was their main guy who brought loads of experience. He was the captain. And that's why Julio Cesar, you know, is back in the squad. We might see some other guys that would have thought whose international careers might be over, but they might be returning. I'd also add that David Luiz who was captain last night, was also excellent as well. And I think he'll start in next summer alongside Thiago Silva. And Dante, who made his first appearance at the age of 29, which is quite amazing that talent is coming through at such a late stage and still being spotted, you know, in Europe. He's been in Germany for the last four years. He was very good as well. So they have got options at the back, and there were some bright spots, even though they did lose the game.
You mentioned Julio Cesar there, and a number of people in England especially felt that when he joined QPR, that QPR were getting kind of a goalkeeper that's seen his best and probably on the slide down. He's been fantastic at Queen's Park Rangers. He was excellent last night as well. How much longer can he continue playing at this level? Because at the moment, he is dominating that Brazil goalkeeping position.
Yes, because he's getting all the practice he is at QPR, that's why. he is brilliant. I mean, it's interesting that he used to play for Flamengo in Brazil, and back then they were a side that were always fighting relegation, and Cesar kind of billed himself as a relegation survival specialist four times in a row. He helped them stave off relegation, which might be good news for QPR fans, although, you know, maybe too little too late. But yeah, no, his signing has been really interesting, because it came 1 week after after the season started, and Rob Green conceded 5 goals in that opening day defeat. So they didn't fancy Rob Green. He's the most expensive substitute goalkeeper in the Premier League, or at least high substitute goalkeeper in the Premier League. And so I came to the country and thought, you know what, if I do play well here, I can force my way back into the Brazil side. And that was his motivation. He said it from the start. He wants to be part of Brazil, the 2014 squad. Everyone wants to have that role. And the goalkeeping position has been up for grabs. Menezes tried 12 different goalkeepers in 2 years in charge. I mean, if you think about Roy Hodgson doing that, I think there are only 5 English goalkeepers in the Premier League. You'd have to be dropping down into the Championship and League One to find even 12 goalkeepers. So it's an amazing amount of talent out there. I mean, Aurelio Gomez has been on the bench at Spurs for, you know, at least a season, maybe 15 months or so, and he's just moved in January. But he was in the squad for the Copa America. That was only 18 months ago. So you can fall very quickly. Cesar came to the Premier League, has got game time, has shown that he still has the quality, and he does tick other boxes because he's got this experience. He can command a box, and as we saw last night, he is seriously a good goalkeeper.
Just a last one, Ben, before we let you go. Frank Lampard scores a fantastic goal, and now today, seemingly being given a new deal at Chelsea, a new extension to his contract. Are you surprised it's taken this long for Abramovich to kind of give in to the fans' demands, and obviously a player that wants to be at Chelsea as well?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if I was Lampard, I'd say, sorry, you're too late. I've signed a contract with someone else, because since he is able to sign a deal with a foreign club, because he'd be a free agent in 5 months. I'm absolutely amazed, really, that Chelsea have done this about turn, because they decide at the beginning of the season, we're not going to offer Lampard a new contract. And that, if that is their decision, no matter how well he's playing, they have to just stick to that decision. But this is another example of the kind of flip-flop management style at Chelsea that leads to so many different managers and such an imbalanced squad. But they make one decision, and then after a couple of good performances, he's been performing well now for 3 months, I'd say, and a winning goal against Brazil, they change their mind and start opening contract books. I just think it's a ridiculous way to run a club. And if they want Lampard out because they're trying to make the average age of the squad younger or reduce the wage bill, all these things are perfectly understandable. It's a little harsh, but, you know, to bow to public pressure because Lampard claps the crowd every time he comes on as a sub and the crowd chant his name and say, sign him up. You know, I mean, really, that seems very flimsy to me. And I don't think Abramovich is the kind of guy to bow to public pressure. I mean, after all, he's the kind of appointed Rafa Benitez, and gets Rafa Benitez in charge. So really, he was the fans that got Lampard this new contract. I'm not sure, but if I was Lampard, I wouldn't necessarily sign it. And I'm not sure that, you know, he'd be able to sign it, because if he has signed a pre-contract deal with another club, for example, LA Galaxy, or any other club that would want him, I think he'd do particularly well in Italy myself, when I think of how well Beckham did at Milan in 2009 and 2010. Mm-hmm. Just coming on at the end of games, playing in that number 6 Pirlo role, in the front of the defence, just passing the ball and keeping it. This is what Lampard is basically doing at Chelsea as well. He's coming on the end of games and helping them finish them off. And I think he'd do a fantastic job for a top Italian side, you know, doing that as well. So there are options for him. I don't think in the future Chelsea is necessarily secure, regardless of his contract offer.
Ben, I'm sure there's plenty of Serie A fans who you're bringing huge smiles to their faces to hear that you think Lampard would be better off going there rather than staying at Chelsea. It's a fantastic opportunity to have a chat with you, mate. Really appreciate you taking the time out to join us here on WFD, and we look forward to getting back in touch with you as soon as we can, mate.
Likewise, nice to speak to you. Cheers.
Have a good afternoon. Ben Littleton there joining us here on World Football Daily Talk, all things England against Brazil last night, and England miraculously getting that win over the Samba boys of Brazil, led by Philippe Scolari and, of course, Ronaldinho on there. And there's a very interesting, as Ben was saying, that it was Neymar who was meant to be taking it. Apparently Scolari said, I want Neymar to take it. And by the time Neymar went to try and get the ball, Ronaldinho has already got it and said, nah, it's all right, I've got this one, don't worry. And, of course, missing a good save by Joe Hart. And it was great to see Joe Hart, as we said earlier in the show, getting back to his confident best at England, for England. What a fantastic save in that kind of goal line scramble when Ronaldinho tried to poke it home from close range. range, just reaching out an arm and just beating it away. Fantastic from Joe Hart, pulling out a world-class save. And in the end, it proved to be very pivotal indeed, and ended up leading England to that 2-1 victory at Wembley. We're going to take a very quick break here on World Football Daily. When we come back, we're going to be chatting all things US men's national team. Rafa, it's time to finally face the music. A loss in Honduras last night wasn't a good start to the hexagonal round for Jurgen Klinsmann's men.